Chapter 76. The mirrors showed that the barn was strong and square because it had vertical poles inside that held up the roof ridge and reinforced the timber peg rafters. The poles were foot-square balks of lumber anchored in concrete. There were 12 in total. 5 of them had people tied to them. From left to right in the mirror, Reacher could see Taylor, then Jackson, then Pauling, then Kate, then Jade. Their arms were pulled behind them, and their wrists were tied behind the poles. Their ankles were tied together. They had duct tape across their mouths, all except Jackson. He had no tape, but his mouth was a bloody mess. He had deep cuts above both eyebrows. He wasn't standing. He had slumped down into a semi-conscious crouch at the base of his pole. It was Taylor who had been wounded. His shirt was torn and soaked with blood, upper right arm. Pauling looked okay, eyes a little wild above the slash of silver tape, hair all over the place, but she was functioning. Kate was as white as a sheet, and her eyes were closed. Jade had slid down her pole and was sitting on her heels, head down, motionless. Maybe she had fainted. The Toyota had been backed in and turned so that it was hard up against the end wall on the left. Its headlights were turned full on, high beams shining down the long axis of the building, casting 12 harsh shadows from the poles. Gregory had his MP5 slung across his back and was wrestling with some kind of a large, flat panel. An old door, maybe, or a tabletop. He was walking it across the floor of the barn, left bottom corner, right bottom corner, gripping it with both hands. Lane was standing completely still in the middle of the floor, his right fist around his MP5's pistol grip, and his left fist around the foregrip. His finger was on the trigger, and all 10 of his knuckles were showing bone white. He was facing the door, sideways on to the Toyota. Its xenon headlight beams lit up his face in bizarre relief. His eye sockets were like black holes. Borderline mentally ill, people had said. Crossed that border long ago, Reacher thought. Gregory got the big flat panel front and center, and Reacher heard him say, "Why do you want this?" Lane answered, "We need sawhorses." Reacher moved the mirror and followed Lane's reflection over to where Jackson was squatting. Lane kicked Jackson in the ribs and asked him, "Do you have sawhorses here?" And Jackson said,
"In the other barn."
And Lane said, "I'll send Perez and Addison for them when they get back." "They're not coming back," Reacher thought.
"They're not coming back," Jackson said. "Reacher's out there, and he's got them."
"You're annoying me," Lane said. But Reacher saw him glance toward the door anyway, and he saw what Jackson was trying to do. He was trying to focus Lane's attention outside of the barn, away from the prisoners. He was trying to buy time. Smart guy, Reacher thought. Then he saw Lane's reflection grow large in the mirror. He pulled the ash bowl back, slowly and carefully, aimed his MP5 at a spot an inch outside the door and 5 feet 4 inches above the ground. "Put your head out," he thought. "Take a look. Please. I'll put 3 bullets in one ear and out the other." But no such luck. Reacher heard Lane stop just inside the door and scream, "Reacher! You out there?" Reacher waited. Lane called, "Perez! Addison!" Reacher waited. Lane screamed, "Reacher! You there? Listen up. 10 seconds from now, I'm going to shoot Jackson in the thighs. He'll bleed out through his femoral arteries. Then I'll make Lauren Pauling lick it up like a dog." Reacher waited. 10! 9! 8! His voice faded as he stalked back to the center of the barn. Reacher slid the mirror back into place, saw Lane stop near Jackson and heard him say, "He isn't out there. Or if he is, he doesn't give a shit about you." Then Lane turned again and yelled, 7! 6! 5! Gregory was standing mute with the panel held vertical in front of him, doing nothing.
4!
Lane screamed. A lot can happen in a single second. In Reacher's case, he ran thoughts through his head like a card player sorting a hand. He considered taking the risk of sacrificing Jackson. Maybe Lane didn't mean it. If he did, then certainly Lane was crazy enough to fire full auto and empty his weapon. Gregory was handicapped. Reacher could let Jackson take 30 rounds in the legs and wait until Lane was clicking on empty, and then he could step in and put 3 through the flat board into Gregory's center mass and 3 more into Lane's head. 1 KIA out of 5 hostages wasn't excessive. 20%. Reacher had once been given a medal for an outcome worse than that. 3! Lane screamed. But Reacher liked Jackson, and there was Susan and Melody to consider. Susan, the loyal sister, Melody, the innocent child. And there was Kate Lane's dream to think about. The new extended family farming together, growing hay, leaching the old chemicals out of the Norfolk soil, planting wholesome vegetables 5 years in the future. 2! Lane screamed. Reacher dropped the mirror and extended his right arm like a swimmer and hooked his fingers around the edge of the door. Crawled backward fast, hauling the door with him, opening it wide, staying out of sight. He dragged it through the full 20 feet of its travel, then he waited. Silence inside the barn. He knew Lane's eyes were on the black void outside, knew his ears were straining to hear something in the stillness. The oldest of all atavistic human fears, buried deep in the primeval lizard brain, still alive 100,000 years after leaving the caves. There's something out there. Reacher heard a flat, cushioned thump as Gregory dropped the panel. Then it was a foot race. From Lane's perspective, the door had opened right to left, driven by some unseen agency. Therefore, that agency was now outside and to the left, at the end of the door's long travel. Reacher stood up and stepped backward and turned and ran, counterclockwise around the barn, around the first corner, and 50 feet along the south side, then the next corner, and 100 feet along the back wall, then 50 feet along the north wall. He took it slower than maximum speed, 300 feet, 100 yards, 4 turns in about 30 seconds. An Olympic athlete would have done it in 10, but an Olympic athlete didn't need to be composed enough at the finish line to fire a submachine gun accurately. He took the last corner, came back down the front wall to the doorway, mouth shut, breathing hard through his nose, controlling the heaving in his chest. Now he was outside and to the right. Silence inside the barn. No movement. Reacher planted his feet and leaned his left shoulder on the wall, his elbow tucked in, his wrist turned, his hand on the MP5's front grip, lightly, gently. His right hand was on the pistol grip, and his right index finger had already moved the trigger through its first 1/8 inch of slack. His left eye was closed, and his right eye had lined up both iron sights. He waited, heard a soft footfall on the barn's concrete floor, 4 feet in front of him and 3 feet to his left, saw a shadow in the spill of light. He waited, saw the back of Lane's head, just a narrow arc, like a crescent moon craning out, peering left into the darkness. Saw his right shoulder. Saw his MP5's nylon strap biting deep into the bunched canvas fabric of his jacket. Reacher didn't move his gun. He wanted to fire parallel with the barn, not into it. Moving his gun would put hostages in the line of fire. Taylor, specifically, from what he recalled from the tortoiseshell mirror, maybe Jackson, too. He had to be patient. He had to let Lane come to him.